It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Final hour of the program. Still to come once in a blue moon. We'll hear from Ed Crane. Final time. At least final time today.
Yeah, and not forever. Well, no, he'll be on with Jason and Doug.
Final time with us today.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. And then, you know, we'll have a crossover. We'll cross it over with Jason and Doug. I can only wonder what they're throwing at us today.
After we forgot to yesterday.
339-1140.
I got a text from Chris at like 5:50. Hey, where's the crossover? I'm like... about that.
Yeah, why didn't you just...
I meant to and I forgot.
Gosh. I want to talk to Raider fan for a second.
Why?
I know. I got a tweet yesterday from somebody who's like, hey, you guys should have a two-hour pregame show at the very least before you had the Raider game on a Monday.
Hmm.
And then, like, a totally different guy, not even in responding to that, did the whole, barely heard about the Raiders yesterday. And I said, okay, we talked about them at 6:15, 6:40, 7 a.m., 7:15, almost the entire 8 to 8:30. And then once before I think it was around 8:40 something. Let me help you out. We also don't do Rams or Chargers coverage.
Okay? Why not?
Because they're not local.
Huh?
See, and they're actually closer to Sacramento than the Vegas Raiders are. Instead of whining about lack of Raider coverage, let me help you out. Say thank you for carrying an out-of-market team here as a service to Raider fans. What's wrong with that? Why is it always, you gave me some stuff? I'm glad we're doing it because there's a lot of Raider fans here, but my God, they're not here. They left. We wouldn't be carrying Kings games if they went to Seattle. We wouldn't.
Probably actually be carrying Warriors games, I'd imagine.
Probably.
Your home of the Warriors, Sports 1140 KHTK. Think about that logo behind you would be blue and gold,
God,
buddy.
Man, why is it? Listen, I like most Raider fans, I think.
Why?
I don't know. Why is it that there's just this corner of Raider fan that is just so insufferable? They're just so insufferable. Like, stop whining. Dude, we talked about it all morning. And we're not doing a two-hour pregame show for an out-of-market team in a town that's like 85% Niner fans. Facts. Sorry. Look at the ratings. It's a fact. They're the Vegas Raiders. That's part of the whole thing. All of you fans that are like, oh, you know, I don't care if they're the Vegas Raiders. I mean, geez, you know, it's still the Raiders. Raiders Nation, baby. They could be in Vegas. They could be in Portland. Doesn't matter. Vegas Raiders. Okay, what you forgot is that part of the team leaving is that your local coverage will diminish because they're not local.
Yeah.
That's part of it. You can't be like, oh, well, I'm cool with them leaving. Oh, where's the coverage? We're playing the games.
Can't have your cake and eat it too,
thank
guys.
You. So maybe instead of, you know, complaining, I just prefer you said thank you and went along your way. If not, I suggest you grab a transmitter and you broadcast the games yourself. I was trying to do a Few Good Men. Jack.
Yeah, I know the movie.
Remember Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah, I also remember Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. He was really good.
1-800-920-1140-339-1140. Hey, you know what? Let's talk Raiders. Specifically, John Gruden, who got fined $100,000 for not wearing a mask.
Who also allegedly had COVID, we think.
Yeah. So.
I think the audio is in the folder from yesterday of him addressing that. It was a really weird, like, presser. Like, he's saying, I'm sensitive to it. I had it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't know. It's just, is the audio in there? It was just weird.
I mean, I'm looking for it right now. Dude, you had it. Well, I've just got him talking about Derek Carr being a great quarterback. You're talking about today's audio that he said yesterday?
No, I thought it was Sunday's audio that was in yesterday's audio. Maybe it was Monday's audio folder. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, I don't see it.
Okay. Anyways, weird. Go out of your way to look for it. It's just, it was a weird response. Because he was obviously asked about that post game.
He and Sean Payton fined for not wearing masks. And I can't see this going away, by the way, because what are they going to do? They're going to say, you know what? Okay, we're going to stop finding the coaches. Okay, well, what are you going to do about the fine you already got paid by Kyle Shanahan and friends and Vic Fangio? So now you have Sean Payton and John Gruden. That's another $200,000. And I assume they're, $250,000 as well to the teams, which also that you're hurting the coach, but now you got the coach's boss on you saying, mm-hmm. You just cost me $250,000. Here's an idea. Wear the mask.
Or better yet, why not go, if the mask is an issue like Gruden was saying when it comes to play calling, why not wear the face shield like Andy Reid is doing? It's not hard.
Honestly, Gruden already wears a visor.
Yes.
Just put some plastic on the bottom.
It's not a difficult thing for him to wear a face shield.
It really isn't.
I don't get it.
Here's your quote. Gruden apologized after the game for failing to wear his mask and also acknowledged for the first time he had coronavirus during the offseason. Quote, I don't want to get into it, really. It wasn't pleasant. It was reported that I made up that I had the virus, and it really ticked me off because I would never do something like that. But it's a very serious matter, and obviously I'm sensitive about it. It was a tough deal, that's for sure, just like everybody else that's had it. Sean Payton also had coronavirus mm-hmm. in the offseason. So the two coaches that went up against each other on Monday night both had coronavirus in the offseason and both did not wear masks. Which is either incredibly stupid. Well, no, it's incredibly stupid either way, but you also have to wonder.
And by the way, it's not like they didn't know these fines were going to happen if they, didn't wear. They had to know before doing this that, hey, the NFL is going to come down on you if you do this.
Yeah.
That's $100,000. I mean, granted, they both make good money, but man, $100,000? Because you couldn't wear a mask or a face shield? Is it really worth it?
So, yeah, why did they? I mean, that's a lot of money.
And then the team's getting hit with $250,000 each.
Yeah, see, that's
they're not happy about
that. That's not going to work.
Remember, these are the teams that cannot, look at the 49ers and the Raiders. Can't put fans in the stands.
Right.
They're not trying to lose any more money than they already are.
You know how many Astro vans Mark Davis could buy with $250,000?
Astro van? How much does Astro van?
Aero Stars, whatever he drives.
A few.
I mean, listen, it's the rule. You may agree with it or not. Boomer Esiason was talking today about how the players aren't wearing masks, so why are the coach? Well, that's because that's the rule. That's the rule they put together. That's part of the bubble. I had somebody else said to me yesterday, said, well, baseball, basketball, football seem to be getting along just fine. Where's the massive die-off everybody thought was going to happen? How come, here's why it's a hoax, because there's not a die-off going on. Like, at this point, all these athletes should be dead. I was like, how many times over the last 6 months has somebody said something to you or you read something and your first reaction is?
I mean, if you log into social media, that's a daily occurrence for the last, 10 years.
It's like a walking facepalm.
It really is. It's the way people try to equate things to me.
And then you try to explain it, but you try to not sound like a condescending person talking to them like a child, but you can't.
That's why I don't explain things to people, because I cannot not.
This
do
was
that.
An in-person thing. It was a friend of mine. And I was like, well, because these places are in controlled environments and they're testing every single day and they have really crazy protocols in place. And the reason why they're getting sick and dying at a far less rate than the rest of the country is because they're doing all these things and we're not. And if we were doing all the things that they're doing in these bubbles, which is borderline impossible,
mm-hmm.
guess what? We would also have similar. You see how that works?
Yeah.
Do you see how it's different? Do you see how you're saying I mask freedom, blah, blah, garbage? Do you see how they're, when you do all that stuff, it's fake news, bro. It's fake news, bro. It's fake news. It's deep state, bro. It's deep state, dude.
All right.
Wear the damn mask, John. Wear the damn mask, Sean.
Again, dude, if you don't like the mask, I get it. Put the face shield on. Put the face shield on. You'll breathe. You'll be able to call plays. Like, there will be no issues.
Andy Reid does it.
Yeah, it hasn't had an issue other than, you know, the fog in week one. But, hey, he found the answer to that.
Bill Belichick wore a witch's hat. At least he did. It's Bill Belichick. Do it. Or don't, and just pay, what would that be, $1.6 million? Gruden can afford it.
Yeah.
So what, he's now getting $8.6 million a year?
Rough life.
The problem is that at some point Mark Davis is going to say, yeah, that's cool, dude, but I'm not paying $4 million. So now all of a sudden John Gruden would have to probably pay those fines, so now that's $5.6 million. You know, John's still making $4.4 million.
Yeah, but do you really want to give away all that, you know, because that's essentially what you're doing. You're giving it away.
Very curious to see where this dumb battle goes, if it's even a battle. Because like you said, I can't imagine they're that aloof that they don't know they're getting fined. So are they making a statement?
Okay. You've made your statement. What has your statement accomplished if that's the case?
Very, very, very curious to see what happens this weekend. Very curious. Will every coach have it? Will every coach wear a mask?
I mean, I would hope after $500,000 worth of fines were just levied that that got someone's attention. You would think, right? Logically speaking. But then again, as we have learned, logic does not always get applied to situations like this.
From the 916, I haven't seen it, may have missed it. Has anybody actually gotten COVID in the NBA bubble? I don't believe they have,
no.
Right?
Yeah. No.
That's what happens.
They have controlled that environment.
I mean,
it's plain and simple.
Again, I'm not trying to get off the sports thing, but again, that's just a fun point. There you go. Look what happens. No COVID. See?
To the best of my knowledge, the NHL hasn't had any COVID in their bubble.
No.
And to be fair, the NFL has done a good job right now.
Sure.
But look at what just happened in Notre Dame.
Seven players test positive in Notre Dame. And you know who has tested positive in their quote-unquote bubble? Baseball.
Yeah.
Because it's not a bubble. It's not a bubble. By the way, you're going to have football players test positive for COVID.
You'll get a breakout
For a fact, you will. That still hasn't happened yet. See, here's what we haven't had happen yet in the NFL. Because you have more players, you're getting into colder weather, and they're also not in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You will have coronavirus breakouts in the NFL this year, which will lead to postponements and cancellations, which will lead to
questions,
fantasy implications,
and lots of questions. What happens then? Does that team then have to play on their bye week? What if their bye week already happened?
Well, that's why I think hockey, basketball, I think MLS too, maybe WNBA, all in bubbles.
Yeah, MLS had issues in their bubble, but they were also the first one. Right. They were kind of the guinea pig, but the WNBA has been fine.
It just goes to show you, they work. It all works. If there's testing and social distancing and masks, it works.
There's a reason why the MLB is going to a sort of bubble when it comes playoff time.
Correct.
They got, what, four total stadiums they're going to be using throughout the entire playoffs except for the first round?
Yep.
Okay, there is a reason.
And listen, that's not realistic.
Oh, a football bubble? Of course not.
No, I mean, it's not realistic to do that in society. You can't have a bubble.
No.
But
you can do better at taking the precautions that have been recommended
right.
from medical experts.
Right.
not Gus on Facebook. No, like people that are at, you know, the top levels of what they do in the world. But like you said, it's a hoax.
Somebody texted in, it might be a good point. Did those fines happen during the game?
No, they were all post.
No. Did the Kyle Shanahan Vic Fangio, et cetera, fines happen during the Monday Night Football game? Were they announced during the Monday Night Football game?
I thought they were announced. I thought we talked about them before the game. I could be wrong. I could be mixing up my days.
No, I'm just, this isn't a great whatever, but I'm looking at it. It says 7:14 p.m. For the Chronicle. I don't. The point is, the texter said the reason why Gruden and Peyton, they didn't know about the fines because they were announced during the game. I'd have to check that out.
Here's why I'm not going to buy that, whether or not, it doesn't matter when the fines were announced. I would imagine the NFL has had a conversation with coaches, et cetera, of what they can and cannot do. They didn't just say, oh, they didn't wear a mask. Ah, fine them $100K. That'll get them. Like, this was set already.
There were memos.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They knew.
There were conference calls.
Like, they did. These fines didn't just get made up in the last few days, is my point.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't just see some coaches on the sidelines not masked up or wearing a face shield and be like, we can't have this. You know what? Hit him with $100K.
And you know what? They probably knew exactly what the fine would be, too. Mm-hmm. Not just that they would be fined. They probably knew exactly what the fine would be. Otherwise, you're getting a challenge by the coaches association.
Of course. And
blah, 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 blah. Those are huge fines, dude.
Yeah, they're not small.
They're not. I mean, those are really, really big fines. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. The NFL Players Association is backing the 49ers when it comes to the MetLife Stadium turf. Niners very critical, obviously, about the turf, all the injuries they got. NFL says the turf passed the inspection protocol. Players Association standing behind the Niners. I mean, it's not going to do anything.
No. And the NFLPA wants, you know, a further investigation into the NFL's findings. Now, I don't think they will get anything out of that like you, but it is interesting that you would have the actual Players Association be like, nah, yeah, this is a problem.
Well, you know, I
would imagine enough guys.
Right.
Not, and I don't think just 49ers. I'd imagine enough people that have played at MetLife, including the Jets and Giants, probably have talked to the PA about this if they're going to go ahead and back completely back a team.
I think the Players Association, they look bad if they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're backing their players. I don't know what this does other than, you know, maybe they would step in and say, hey, improve the turf, but it's a combination of turf. It's most likely a combination of turf and lack of preseason.
But what would you equate it to more if you had to put a percentage on it?
Lack of preseason.
Really?
I would because there's been turf for a long time in places.
Yeah, but they're saying that specific turf is having issues.
But we also saw, you know, Cortland Sutton wasn't on that turf. You know, there were a number of injuries around the league that, you know, Christian McCaffrey wasn't on that turf.
Sure.
There were a number of injuries around. In fact, Saquon Barkley wasn't on that turf, right?
No, not this week.
Yeah, he wasn't on that turf. That's my thing. Now, I don't know, and we talked about this yesterday. There's going to be a lot of recency bias and people saying, hey, Jason Ross told me that he was actually going back and looking at injuries last year through week two, week three, and he said this was particularly bad, but it's also, is it being exacerbated because it's not offensive guard Smitherton Smithenson from Buffalo. You know, it's Christian freaking McCaffrey. It's not, member of the secondary Jonathan Engelbear from Seattle.
Jonathan Engelbear was having a great year.
He was having a great year. It's Saquon Barkley. It's big names, and that stands out.
And to your point, though, and you're right, in the essence of there was a lack of training camp, no preseason games, that definitely probably is contributing. But when you look at the turf at MetLife, of all those players you just named, how many of those teams also had like four other guys go down? They lost Garoppolo, Solomon Thomas, and Nick Bosa within 10 minutes. And I don't mean 10 minutes on the play clock. I mean actual like 10 minutes real time, it seemed like.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, at one point it was like, okay, can we stop the game?
And then Coleman and Mostert both go down?
Yeah. No, there's
the Jets were already injury riddled to begin with, so they've had issues. Not saying it's the field's fault, but I'm just saying.
It could be a combination. And it could be neither, by the way. It could be neither. It could just be some crazy rando streak of horrible luck.
Yeah,
that happened in New York.
I agree with you. And, you know, Eric Armstead said after the game, man, it gives you – well, I don't forget his exact words, but, man, I think he said it's anxiety-inducing.
I would think so. And what did Sean Salisbury say on the air with us Monday? He said if you're playing to not get hurt, that's when you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going full speed, that's really when you get hurt.
Sure.
Because people start second-guessing. They take weird steps. They do weird things. They do stuff they wouldn't normally do. Can't do that.
Yep.
And the best part is they've got to go back there this weekend to the same place. What are the odds? Which, by the way, maybe that's why the Niners are doing what they're doing. Maybe, I know it sounds weird right now. Maybe they're going to, you know, and it's probably way too late to do it, but there are plenty of other places they could play that game.
Oh, God, yeah. If you're not playing with any fans.
You're not playing with any fans and nobody else is playing anywhere. There are plenty of colleges and, you know, you go all kind. I mean, high schools wouldn't do it, but there's plenty of colleges. There's probably a couple other NFL stadiums. There's no fans, so who cares? Like you said about home field advantage. Maybe the Niners are trying to get the NFL to move the venue.
And I wouldn't be shocked if that was their play.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. They have one healthy running back, right, this week.
Right.
In Jerick McKinnon. What is Jerick McKinnon coming off of?
He's coming off of a career in which he has played 16 games every season.
And ACL injuries.
Yeah.
You don't think that's sitting in the back of people's minds? I hate to put that out there, but I'm sure I'm not the first one to think of it.
Of course you're not. I don't think it's in the back of anybody's mind. I think it's in the front.
What about the middle?
Nope.
Okay.
Right there in the front by your eyebrows. Also, shade at Jeff Wilson Jr., who is healthy. Just apparently Jeff Wilson, does it stem from an issue you had with Jeff Wilson Sr. years ago in high school?
No, it's I didn't like his fourth cousin Dan Wilson when he was the catcher in Seattle.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
All right, we'll talk to Ed Crane for the final time today. We'll get to Once in a Blue Moon, and then we'll go over some of our sound that we had earlier, including the basketball season not starting for a while. We'll be back.
Here's your bottom of the hour news and information update with Ed Crane.
Good morning. The 4-day farewell for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is underway. It began with a private viewing of the casket at the U.S. Supreme Court and then a public viewing through tomorrow. Friday, the late justice will lie in state at the Capitol, the first woman so honored. She'll be buried Saturday next to her husband at Arlington National Cemetery. NFL Hall of Famer Gale Sayers has died. He was 77. He'd been suffering from Alzheimer's. Sales slowed initially when the pandemic hit, but existing home sales are on a roll locally and nationally. In California, the median home price has climbed above $700,000, and sales are up 15% over the same period last year. Another COVID-19 vaccine being watched by the government is beginning Phase 3 human testing made by Johnson & Johnson. This one is designed as a one-shot virus preventative. Three other leading vaccine candidates require two shots a month apart. Uncle Ben joining Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth in a more racially sensitive package. The rice product will now be known as Ben's Original, and the picture of the smiling black man is gone from the front label. That's the information you need. I'm Ed Crane, Sports 1140 KHDK. Back to Carmichael Dave.
Let's go Johnson & Johnson. I mean, really, when I think of Johnson & Johnson, am I the only one? First thing that comes to people's mind is the shampoo where you don't have the tears.
And the Band-Aids.
Does Johnson & Johnson own Band-Aids?
Well, I don't know if they own the brand name, but they make them. Yeah, I think they do. Yeah.
We had a conversation about that years ago, about brands that have superseded everything. So, like, Band-Aid is the all-encompassing term for,
like, Kleenex.
Right, Kleenex is another one. Oreo, I think, is some. You know, they have knockoff Oreos, but everybody calls them Oreos.
Right.
There's a number of brands that completely supersede everything else. Band-Aid is one of them. Hey, you don't have to freeze it. It's one shot. I'll bet you there's a lot of investors right now betting. Whoever gets that with the first one approved, have fun with your stocks.
I got to take a look at that because I saw Moderna went flying and AstraZeneca went flying. I don't know if Johnson & Johnson did.
And Johnson & Johnson, Gilead's another one, but that was more remdesivir than anything else. But it had fun. I'll tell you, I was looking at the movers and shakers on the stock market yesterday. I got to figure this out. GameStop's up like 70%. Over the last,
is everybody staying home?
Right, but I thought GameStop was going like belly up because everybody's staying home, and you you know, everyone's now like the new PlayStation they're coming out with in November. They have a digital only version where you just download the games. You don't have to go to GameStop, and that means there's no games to trade in.
You know what happens in that when you shoot people don't have a mask on.
Yeah, darn right. I can't. By the way, you know a COVID video game is going to be here at some point.
I'm surprised it's not out now.
I am too. Ed, appreciate you. We'll send the check and talk to you this afternoon with Jason and Doug.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Ziploc bag. Thank you. Text line. That's another one.
I'm sorry. What happened to GameStop?
Well, GameStop stock is like up 70% over the last either week or month. I was looking at it yesterday.
Did you look to see if there was a mass layoff involved?
Yeah, there's something going on because they're up 111% over the last 3 months. Exactly. They have doubled their stock price from 510 to 1020 in the last month.
Yeah, again, that is interesting. I know they were planning before the pandemic happened. They were going to, like, you know, reimagine the GameStop experience. Like, you could go in, play games. There was going to be, like, a retro game station set up, make it more of a hangout. But obviously, the pandemic happened,
right?
So that's delayed that.
Then there was a bankruptcy issue brought up. I know this because somebody killed it on Twitter. They say it was like GameStop's going bankrupt, and somebody said, hey, I'll give you 3 cents on the dollar for it, which is an obvious nod to how they, you know, you go buy a $50 game, you play with it for a week, and then they say, oh, we'll give you $10.
Dude, funny enough, I was actually looking at their website because they'll tell you their trade-in values. I had a game I was looking, like, I don't really need it.
Right.
I bought the game for like $30. It's worth like $4 in trade-in. So to your point.
I got to tell you, by the way, I've been playing Tony Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. I was so excited to play it, and then I started playing it, and I was super excited. But then I really started playing it, and I forgot how frustrating that game is.
Very frustrating. Very addicting.
Very addicting, but like trying to spell skate, and you can't get that one letter, and your guy keeps bashing into the wall.
Yeah.
Remember
have controllers been thrown?
No, I don't throw controllers anymore.
Anymore.
No, not anymore. I'm trying to think of the last time. A
couple weeks ago.
Well documented, I've thrown controllers. Remember we were talking about a Raider fan yelling at me for not doing a 2 hour pregame show the other day.
Right, and us not spending 2 hours and 58 minutes of our 3 hour show on it. Yeah.
Here's what's interesting. Facebook memories. I was looking at that during the break.
Why?
Because I don't know, pops up. And 2 years ago I put out a poll on Twitter. If you root for one, which? Niners or Raiders? 66% said 49ers. 34% said Raiders. Now, that's got to have gone down since 2 years ago.
Which part?
I'm saying the amount of people that root for the Raiders.
For sure.
Let's say it's even gone down, what would that be, 4%, which I would say is closer to 14, but let's just be fair, and it's 70-30. That means 7 out of every 10 football fans. Well, no, more than that, because there's Cowboy fans here and blah, blah, blah. You're talking about what? Maybe 1.5 to 2 fans out of 10 in Sacramento root for the Raiders now. But their games are broadcast and they're out of state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying people should be sending Jason Ross a thank you card. Thank you, Jason, for all the work you've done.
With a gift card.
With a gift card to GameStop.
Yeah. Jason's a big gamer, if people didn't catch
that. Huge gamer.
We call him Gamer J. Ross around here.
Big on Pong.
Have you ever played Jason in Pong?
No, dude, because he's world ranked.
Yeah, it's like it'd be the equivalent of playing Forrest Gump in ping pong. You just wouldn't last more than, I don't know, about 10 seconds.
Jason only did the old school games. So, like, Jason had a Commodore 64. He had an Intellivision.
Atari 2600.
Do you remember Intellivision?
I know what it is.
Is that
I don't
before
remember.
Your time?
It was, but I know what it is.
You had a controller that looked almost like a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rectangle. And whenever you would play a new game, you would slide this plastic thing in that would have the controller layout for that specific game. But it was basically a rectangular phone-looking thing with numbers on it or, you know, touchpads. And then, like, Burger Time, you'd put in a different thing.
And then Nintendo happened in 1985 and saved all of us from these monstrosities.
Thank God for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Double Dribble, Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt. RC Pro-Am.
Without it, there would be no video game industry today, my friend.
Let's get to Once in a Blue Moon, shall we?
Sure.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
That was loud.
Hey, hi.
Hey, we lost an NFL legend this morning in Gale Sayers. Just to give you a little background on Gale Sayers, if you are not familiar, he won the Rookie of the Year in 1965, led NFL in rushing in 1966 and 1969, averaged 30.6 yards per kick return, which is the most in NFL history, last player to score 6 TDs in a single game, and was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1977.
Here's a question about the late, great Gale Sayers. American Sports Only. Greatest player ever with an androgynous first name? I'm trying to think of a Pat.
Stacey Augman.
Gale Sayers better. But good one.
I'm just thinking of players with androgynous names now.
Pat. Why am I thinking?
Summerall.
Avery, that's my daughter's name. But
Johnson.
Avery Johnson, Gale Sayers better. Connie Dobler. Gale Sayers better.
Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Jackie Robinson.
There's one.
There's one that goes right there. You're right, Jackie Robinson. Golly. Okay. That's probably the best one I can think of.
Yeah, because I'm also trying to think of female athletes with androgynous first names that could be considered. Tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one.
I feel like we could spend 3 hours on that if we really wanted to.
Chris Evert.
Yeah, that counts.
Chris Evert. Absolutely. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of androgynously first-named athletes? We have three right now so far. Chris Evert, Gale Sayers, and the other guy that we just mentioned that I forgot now.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson. You've heard of him before? Yeah, him. Yeah, that's the one I forgot. Interesting.
Good question.
Thank you.
Good question.
I might have to put that out there. Adam Silver on the start of the season. We will not play this whole thing, but his best guess on the next season.
But when is your best guess as to when the next season, which won't be 2020, 2021, it'll be the 2021 season, when will it start? And will you have to have format changes? Will it be a shorter season, different playoff structure? Because we know that the virus will not be completely behind us come springtime or late winter.
My best guess is that even though, as you said, it'll be the 2021 season, that season won't start until 21. We said a week ago or so that the earliest we would start is Christmas of this year, but the more I'm learning, even listening to Dr. Fauci this morning, I continue to believe that we're going to be better off getting into January.
So we talked about this before. NBA is trying to play it fast and loose, and not in a bad way. They're trying to time it when fans can come back. So it's going to be very interesting over those months. And I thought about this today. You know what? This is crazy, Jay. Today is September 23rd. Do you realize that under normal circumstances, that this coming Monday would be media day?
Yep.
This coming Monday would be media day for the new season.
Also, he says they want to play a full post and regular season next year, starting in. So let's say they start in January. That means they're playing into August.
Well, let's see. So November, December, January, February, March, April,
May, June.
Okay, so that's 6 months of regular season.
So look at it from this. The finals normally end in June, right?
Correct. The regular season will now end in June if they started in January.
Yes, and that means you'd have 2 months of playing in August.
So you're looking at
best case scenario ever as a sports fan.
Oh, my God. Like, next up. But here's the thing. I keep coming back to it, dude. What in the hell? I keep saying, what is February going to be like? But I guess February, we're hoping we'll have NBA basketball.
Yeah. I think we will have NBA basketball in February, hopefully.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
We got a lot to get to because we've got what's on tap. We have the crossover, and boy, are you all doing fantastically at coming up with androgynous first-named awesome athletes in honor of the late Gale Sayers.
By the way, we also have the reason why Tyrod Taylor was such a late scratch for the Chargers.
Oh?
Let's just say the Chargers medical team will be sponsoring What's on Tap today.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Also, live results of would you and I beat Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 2-on-2? I did put the poll out there.
Got to be us winning, right?
Well, I'll give it to you next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on. Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
the Chargers medical staff.
Yeah, I don't know about this, so I need the story.
According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's lung, just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs, league and team sources have told ESPN.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, it's...
Wow. I mean...
Really?
Like, I feel so bad for the doctor. It's not like he or she did it on purpose. Things happen. Mistakes do get made. But wow, is that a mistake?
Yeah, I get it. Mistakes get made. That's not a mistake that should ever get made.
Oh, I agree. And that doctor probably should not be doctoring the Chargers anymore. Woof.
Punctured lung from an injection.
Oh, my God. That is the worst.
Wow.
And, yeah, it begs the question. So what? Tyrod Taylor couldn't play through a punctured lung?
He already had cracked ribs. Like
Tony Romo did. I mean, come on.
Jeez, dude. We've came to work with a cold before.
If I had a punctured lung, I would, like, take a month off.
And broken ribs.
Yeah. Dude, I would take, like, a month off.
At least, right?
Yeah, at least. Maybe a sabbatical.
Maybe just it's for sure a sabbatical.
Totally.
Was it a month of sabbatical at that
point? I
think
that's over a month. I don't know if there's a rule. From the 530, What's on Tap is brought to you by hot dogs. Sure, they're comprised of 13% rat feces, but the nitrates kill them off, so who even cares? Thanks, hot dogs.
I'd have to look up the actual stats on that.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I love hot dogs. What if Justin Herbert... Hey, oh my God. Could that be? Remember how we were saying earlier this week it was dumb that Anthony Lynn said Tyrod Taylor is his starter?
Mm-hmm.
What if the owner is making them start Tyrod Taylor so that he doesn't get sued because the team doctor punctured his lung, thus costing him his starting job?
I mean, it's a little tinfoil-y hat-ish.
So, Babe Ruth. Androgynous first name athletes in honor of Gale Sayers.
That doesn't count. His name was George.
But he went by Babe.
His name was George.
Sandy Koufax.
That's a great one.
Yeah, because he's a Dodger.
He's also one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
But... We said athletes, but I think Pat Summitt deserves to be on that list.
Mm-hmm. Pat Summerall.
Pat Summerall, the field goal kicker. Let's see. You know what? I'm arguing with a friend of mine right now, and I'm not going to blow this person up, but they're trying to get me to play in a golf tournament, and I'm not doing it. But they won't shut up.
We're doing this again?
I'm getting texted right now, like, arguing with me as to why I won't play. Do you know where everyone's been when you're at a grocery store? No, because I don't go to the grocery store. I get it delivered. Live a bit. It's okay to breathe a bit.
That's not why you don't want to play.
Well, true, I know why you don't want to play. It's a great cover. Madison Bumgarner.
Oh.
Yeah. Didn't he actually date a Madison Bumgarner? Isn't that the story? No, I swear to God. You've never heard that?
I don't know if it is. However, there's a lot of jokes to be made if that's true.
No, I think Madison Bumgarner, I swear I've heard that story, or I just had a...
I mean, it sounds correct.
Here we go. SB Nation. December 9th, 2014. Tom Verducci wrote, when Madison Bumgarner was SI Sportsman of the Year. That's before he dated his current wife. He dated a girl named Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner picked up a phone and asked Madison Bumgarner on a date. And they held hands. And they looked into each other's eyes. What are the odds? Have you ever met a Madison Bumgarner? I haven't.
I've met a Madison. few of them, actually.
I think if I've ever met a Madison. How do you date a girl named Madison Bumgarner? Wow.
Or how do you date a guy named Madison Bumgarner?
Great point. Great point right there. Finally, before we move on here, here's another update for you. If Jay Mars and I play Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell 2-on-2, and here were the caveats I put out there. If it was played today, full court, and every foul you shoot free throws, because then Bill and Kareem would be shooting a lot of free throws, would we beat them? 14% say yes.
Which by my math means 86% say no.
I don't want to focus on that part.
Okay.
I want to focus on the fact that 14% of people are smart and say yes. I'm not saying we would work them, but I'm not saying we wouldn't.
You think if we run the two-man game, little pick and roll action, they'd have trouble keeping up?
I just think we would outquick them. They're old.
That's what I mean.
Like, no disrespect. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Like, you think if Bill Russell's guarding you on the perimeter, you're getting by Bill?
Brotato. Kareem is the young one, and he's 73. Bill Russell is 86.
Years old?
Yes.
That's old.
I'm sorry. I don't care who it is. I'm getting past an 86-year-old person on the basketball court, and I'm not Mr. Athlete, but I'm still spin moving, maybe a little nutmeg between the legs. I'm getting through. I'm getting through.
I just picture you with your tube socks and your Converse.
Yes. Bill Russell could not guard me today. Fact. Fact. Now, Kareem, I mean, listen, they're both in great shape, I'm sure, and Kareem is a young 73, and they got us with height.
He's still skyhooking away.
Yeah, but he's got to make them. And by the way,
He'll make them.
But guess what? I'm going to be fouling the hell out of him. I'm going to do the thing where I put the hand on him.
Yeah, we've talked about this. You foul and hurt Kareem, you're forever that guy.
Let's bring it full circle. Let's go back to the beginning of the show. I'm putting my hand on him, I'm raising my other hand to the ref, and I'm saying, foul!
What if the ref doesn't call it?
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. What if we played them and we worked them, but, like, towards the end, one of them, like, pulled an Achilles or fell and hit
their
head?
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like,
you're
it's
right.
Not good.
Would the two of us beat Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player in a two-man better ball match? No.
Duh.
We would get smoked.
What?
Smoked.
Have you seen me putt on that green?
Broseph, smoked. Smoked.
You do the driving, I do the putting.
My buddy and I just got beat yesterday by 2 65-year-olds.
They cheated.
All right, let's cross it over.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
So I think we've done this question flipped around a little bit.
Flip it for real.
Coaches that have been college coaches.
Yep.
That go to the pros and
right.
Billy Donovan. Yep. Billy Donovan getting a new job, new coach of the Bulls. So the question is that flip, pick a pro coach.
Yes.
That would transfer and go to college and have a career, like be a difference maker.
Yeah. I have a couple on my mind. I want to hear what they have to say, but I think that that's a good one because we see it the other way. But in this particular instance, and we're kind of watching that with Deion Sanders, who's not a coach, but he's been a pro.
Yeah.
Now he's going to college. So professional coaches that could go to college and make a difference.
And change a young person's life.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I'm motivated already.
So there you go. That's the crossover for you guys.
It's not an obvious answer, right?
Well, what's your obvious answer?
Steve Kerr.
I'm going to go not obvious.
Okay.
You know who I think is going to be a good college coach that's in the NBA right now?
That's a current head coach or assistant coach?
Current head coach.
That would be a good – that has no college experience?
Has no experience coaching in college.
Steve Nash.
Luke Walton.
Yeah.
I think that's where his future is. I'm not
– Wow, you have just fired Luke Walton on the air. Oh, my gosh.
I love Luke Walton. I think he's rad. I also don't think he'll be here in 2 years.
Interesting.
So, no, not really. I mean, honestly, if you're betting money, is he? If you're betting money, is Luke Walton here the year after next?
The year after next?
I'm not talking about next season. I'm talking about the following season.
I would need to see what the roster looks like
first. I'm not advocating for it. Trust me, I'm not. I've stood up for Luke many. I'm saying I take emotion out.
I would need to see what the roster looks like first.
I'm telling you, he almost certainly won't be here in 2 years. So I do think Luke, I could totally see Luke going to, you know, starting out at like a UC San Diego or something and then moving his way. I'd love to see Luke could, I think at Arizona would be a great job for him down the road, you know, somewhere on the West Coast, somewhere south. I think Luke would be a great recruiter.
But Steve Kerr's such a dad in that sense. You know what I mean? Like, you see how he is with Steph.
I knew somebody would say Brad Stevens. Dude, Brad Stevens
already came.
Right. Brad Stevens got the job because of his coaching. And what was it, Butler?
Yes.
Come on.
Wait for someone to, even though they are, you know, and what's funny is they already gave away that whole thing. Oh, we got to give a crossover. Anyways.
Yeah. So I've got a double crossover. Now, the question I want answered is this, gentlemen. We put a poll out today in a full court game played today. Could J. Mars and I beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell first to 11? All right, that's our question. But now I'll ask you, Doug Christie, ex-NBA player, great shape. Jason Ross, a guy. Could the two of you beat Doug Christie, could the two of you beat Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in a game of 2-on-2 played today, full court? For J. Mars, I'm Carmichael. Dave Jim Rose next. Bye-bye now.